Screen Directors Playhouse. Stars, Jimmy Stewart, Eleanor Parker. Production, Next Time We Love. Director, E.H. Griffith.
This is the Screen Directors Playhouse, the Thursday night feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you what every smoker wants. Mildness, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. The cigarette that brings you Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. Tonight, the Screen Directors Playhouse is pleased to present a love story as everlasting as time. And here are two Academy Award nominees to recreate their original roles, Jimmy Stewart and Eleanor Parker.
Jimmy, since you created the original role of Chris in the motion picture Next Time We Love, I think it's only fitting that you tell the people a little about it.
Well, thank you, Eleanor. Next Time We Love is the story of Chris and Cicely and what they did with their lives. It's sentimental, warm, tender, and above all, human. I assure you it'll live a long time in your memories. But before we begin, here's Jimmy Wallington.
Here is something you should know if you ever suffer from the sudden pain of headaches, neuritis, or neuralgia. It's a way to ease the pain, often within a few minutes. A way that is incredibly fast and effective. It's Anacin. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people were first introduced to Anacin through their own physicians or dentists. But today these tablets are in such widespread use that all drug counters have them, and anyone may enjoy their benefits. Next time you suffer from the pains of a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, by all means try Anacin. You'll like the convenience of Anacin tablets, and you'll be delighted with Anacin's incredibly fast action. A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin. Ask for Anacin by name today at your druggist. Now, here are Jimmy Stewart as Chris and Eleanor Parker as Cicely, and the first act of Next Time We Love.
Did you see the item hidden away in the corner of the drama page? Cicely Tyler, at the height of her career, has retired from the theater. No further detail, no clues to the reason. It was that cold, that blunt. Well, my name is Tom Abbott. Cicely was and is my great friend. And although I respect her obvious desire for privacy, I feel her story should be told. Let's see, it began in 1942 while she was a junior at college and terribly in love with a young newspaper man, Chris.
Newark, Elizabeth, Brenton Junction, Trenton and Atlantic City, all aboard.
In a moment I'll be leaving, and the train goes so fast. It's pretty awful.
Oh, darling, now don't talk like that.
Parting is such sweet sorrow. Whoever said that?
Well, Juliet.
A lot she knew. It'll be weeks and weeks, won't it, before we...
No, but you'll be busy.
Oh, yes. Junior prom, little boys from Princeton, rehearsals at the Merchant of Venice, and student council.
Well, anyway, it's just one more year after that.
Time enough for you to meet girls who've already gotten started. Newspaper women and artists, and, well, not just college girls.
Yes, and time enough for you to meet a lot of college guys who have lots of time over weekends. And I don't mean that any more than you meant what you told me.
Oh, but, Chris, if you did meet a girl you didn't have to wait for, I'd understand.
What would you understand?
Well, it doesn't seem fair to you, that's all. A girl away at college is such a useless person to be in love with.
Oh, darling, you're very sweet and understanding about my problems, but do you mind very much if I just go on loving you and do without the artist or the newspaper woman or whatever she is?
If there was one, I'd come right up and scratch her eyes out.
What?
Well, that means you, dear. Here, up the steps you go.
Oh, bye, Chris.
Well, I suppose there's some satisfaction in doing what's sensible.
Yes, particularly when there isn't much choice.
Yeah.
You ought to do what I do. When you get up in the morning, you should say to yourself, every day and everywhere, I'm getting sensibler and sensibler.
Yeah.
Oh, bye, Chris. I love you.
Cecily, what would happen if you didn't take this train?
It wouldn't matter if you wanted me to stay.
Come on, jump, Cecily. Here in my arms.
Oh, darling. Your apartment.
You know, lots of people that got famous afterwards lived in this house. Old Henry did when he was broke, and a whole lot.
Cecily, what's the matter? You're shaking.
No, I'm not.
Oh, my darling. Say you're glad, and I'll be glad. Or say you're sorry, if that's true. I'll send you back to college in the next train. I'll think of some excuse that'll be all right.
Oh, I'm glad.
But what made you decide not to take the train?
You asked me not to.
No, I mean, what made you say yes?
Oh, I made up my mind long ago I'd say yes. If you ever asked me to stay, there's never been anyone else for me.
Nor for me.
Oh, Chris, I can't be sensible. Not when you're so close and I'm so happy.
Well, what do I say here?
Oh, just not too close, Chris. Just because I got off that train, I don't want you to think, well, I mean, it isn't necessary.
To what?
Well...
Are you trying to tell me that I don't have to marry you?
Yes.
Oh, my darling.
Well, one of us has to be sensible. A girl of 21 is older in many ways than a man is at 26.
Oh, uh-huh. What big eyes you have, Grandma.
No, I'm serious. If you came to me and said... Grandma, I love this girl, and I earn $50 a week as a newspaper reporter, and, oh, I want to marry her and live happily ever after. Do you know what I'd say?
No. What would you say, Grandma?
I'd say it's the spring, my son. Nothing but the spring.
The trouble with you, Grandma, you're too old-fashioned.
The trouble with you, Grandpa, is I adore you.
I thought you were alone, Chris. I'm sorry.
No. Come on in, Tommy. There's a friend of mine, Cecily. He lives downstairs in front. He's in the motion picture business, and he's crazy. Tommy, this is Cecily.
How do you do, Tommy?
How do you do?
Tommy, how would you like to be a witness at our wedding?
What's this about a wedding?
Yeah.
Yours, I suppose? When?
Right away. Let's get going.
No, wait, don't drink it, all right? I want to propose a toast. Here's to Tommy. May he be as good a friend of Chris and Cecily as he is of just Chris.
Oh, that's a very nice toast. Even if it did go up your nose.
Oh, I guess I'm not used to drinking champagne. Oh, I'm so happy.
Uh-oh, I've got to call the office.
Oh, why bother? They get newspapers out every day.
Yeah, I'd better call them. I'll be right back.
I wonder what they do to newspaper men to make them work so hard,
Maybe they hypnotize him.
And they don't have to do anything to Chris.
I know, he likes his work. I envy him.
I hope he never stops. I think that's what makes him such an exciting person. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right. It's your wedding night. Go ahead, talk about him.
doesn't seem to be much on my mind except my marriage and what I've got to do not to spoil it.
Aren't you beginning to worry a little bit early? It's only 11 o'clock.
Oh, I'm in such a whirl I can't make sense, but what I mean is this. Well, I've made a resolution, and I'm simply not going to be a burden to Chris.
Yeah, well, how do you propose not being a burden?
I'm going to have work of my own to do. I'd like to go on the stage.
How can you act?
Oh, I did quite a lot in college.
Well, I know a lot of people in the theater. Maybe I can help you.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Uh-oh, here comes Chris with a sad look. Bad news from the front.
Well, of all the dirty tricks I ever heard of.
What's the matter?
Somebody just murdered Dutch Hoffler.
Friend of yours?
Yeah. No. He's a gangster. They wanted me to go over to Jersey City right away and get the dope.
But didn't you tell them this was your wedding night?
Yeah, I told them that, and they told me Dutch Hoffler just got murdered, so what about it?
Of course you have to go, darling.
Well, it's not a very nice wedding night for you. I don't know when I'll be back, honey.
I wouldn't marry a newspaper man. Goodbye, darling. I'll be waiting for you. Chris, have I wonderful news.
Fine. Hand me that eraser, will you, honey?
Chris, Tommy got me a part in a play. Isn't that marvelous?
Wonderful.
Listen.
Listen to this, Cecily.
I'm sorry. Chris, I wanted to read my part to you.
Oh, well, I was just finishing this thing about Winston Churchill for Sunday.
Oh, were you? Yeah. Well, read it to me.
You want to hear it, man?
Oh, yes.
Here's what I have. The disaster in London was a nightmare 5 days old, and now panic reigned. There was no food, water was scarce, and overhead waves of Luftwaffe dropped their bombs of degradation. Only one man to rally the prostrate nation, Winston Churchill, raised his voice above the babbling panic and put new courage into the hearts of his countrymen.
Oh, that's grand, Chris.
You think it's all right, huh? You don't think I'm a little too fancy with
it? Oh, I should say not.
No, I don't know. Maybe I'll tone it down.
Oh, no, I wouldn't change a word of it, no.
You wouldn't?
No. Oh, look, Chris, here's the play script. Would you mind cueing me? I'd like to be sure of my lines.
Oh, sure, yeah. Where do I start?
Oh, right there.
Here?
Yes.
Oh, it says a bell ring. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, I'll make a ting-a-ling-a-ling.
Yes, Mr. Cranton?
A little buttered toast.
Yes, Mr. Cranton. Oh, Mr. Cranton, I hope you won't mind my saying this, but...
Go ahead, my child.
I couldn't help overhearing what Mr. Brown said to you, and I want you to know I'm terribly sorry, and if there's... Well, I'd do anything to help you. Anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Look, darling, that last line...
Yes, what about it?
Well, I don't think you mean that you'd do anything for him. I mean, when you say anything at all like that, it sort of sounds like you meant that...
Well, that's the way I did in rehearsal, exactly like that.
I know, but after all, you're just playing a maid's part. You don't have to get so emotional about it.
I'm not emotional.
All right, okay. Now go on. Let's see, now, kind of you. That's kind of you. What's the matter? Kind of you.
I just maybe better go get myself.
Well, I'm sorry, darling. I didn't think you minded a little honest criticism.
I don't mind criticism, but you wouldn't like it if I made fun of your stories. Anyway, I don't need to do it now.
Well, wait a minute.
It's all right.
Darling, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
It's all right, Chris, really.
Scott's honor, I'll never tell you how to act again. Come on over here to me.
Oh, Chris, I'm such a goose. Darling, I'm so ashamed of myself for taking myself so seriously.
Well, I got a lot of nerve, too. Imagine me trying to be a director, huh?
It is fun, though, isn't it? Each of us so busy and getting on a little.
That's just the way we figured it,
wasn't it? Oh, Chris, can it keep on like this? Getting better and better month after month. Sometimes I'm so happy it frightens me.
Oh, you always wanted to worry about something.
Please. Read me the rest of your story.
No, sir. No, after you've read me your scene.
Give me a kiss first.
Our story continues in just a moment. But now, here's a word from RCA Victor. Why do more people choose RCA Victor television than any other make? The reason can be summed up in just one word. Quality. Million-proof quality. Proven in over 2 million homes. RCA Victor television is America's favorite television because, feature for feature, it's America's finest television. With RCA Victor, for example, you enjoy clear, bright, steady pictures that are locked in place by RCA Victor's exclusive eyewitness picture synchronizer. You choose your set from 14 separate models, available in a wide variety of distinctive cabinets, every one a masterpiece of superb engineering and quality craftsmanship. And remember, only when you buy RCA Victor television can you buy the RCA Victor factory service contract for expert installation and maintenance. Next chance you get, step into your RCA Victor dealers and look over the very finest television in America today. RCA Victor million-proof television, proven in over 2 million homes. We continue now with the second act of the Screen Director's Playhouse presentation of Next Time We Love, starring Jimmy Stewart and Eleanor Parker.
Months sped by for Chris and Cicely. A play was a hit, and she was in for a long run. As for Chris, he had made the big jump. He had realized a life's ambition and had just become a foreign correspondent. Cicely and he were at a table for two at the Chez Mignonette, celebrating the occasion. On the surface, everything appeared just about perfect, but...
Chris.
What, dear?
I don't think I'd better go with you next week.
Not go to England with me, but we agreed.
I know, but I've been thinking about it very hard.
Well, hey, what's all this about? You're not going, but why?
Well, one thing is the money, my passage over.
But I'll be getting a good salary.
Well, it isn't only the money, darling. After all, you're starting a new job. You shouldn't have to have me on your mind.
I've done all right so far with you on my mind.
Yes, I know, but... Oh, Chris, don't talk about it tonight anyway.
What's the real reason you don't want to go?
I told you.
No, there's something else.
Well, I guess it's the same reason I don't want to ask Mr. Jennings to give someone else my part.
Are you kidding?
Well, after all, I did get good notices, and I had such a good start, it seems ashamed.
Yeah, the notices were good, weren't they? Well, that's a pretty good story. Newspaper man marries actress, the paths diverge.
Chris, I thought you were glad about my working.
Well, it was all right while we were waiting for a break.
You mean while you were waiting for a break? I think I'd like a drink, please. As long as we're supposed to be having a good time.
I think you've had about enough.
If I hadn't told you, you wouldn't have known I had any. You're just being unreasonable.
I'm perfectly reasonable. But I guess it's my own fault. I should have known what would happen if I let you go on the stage.
Let me.
Well, I encourage you then. I couldn't help it if you got stage struck.
Stage struck? Me? Well, now, how could I be stage struck when I'm already on the stage?
You know, a couple of critics flatter you, and then you go crazy.
Well, last I see things in their true light.
Now, what's that, a line from the play?
Chris, would you mind lending me a dollar, please?
Not at all, certainly.
Thank you. I'll pay you back tomorrow. I'm going home. By myself.
Wait. Cicely, wait a minute. Oh, darling, don't cry. Gee whiz, what happened to us?
I don't know.
Well, that wasn't me saying all those things. But it just the thought of leaving you and coming so suddenly the way it did, it just made me sick all over. Well, what's it going to be like when I really have to be without you?
Oh, Chris, I want to say something to you, and I don't know how... Am I all you want of women in the world?
You're all I'll ever want of women in this world.
And there's nothing can hurt us, my Chris. Because you're all I want of men. I'm going to miss him, Tommy. I'm going to miss him terribly.
I know. Cigarette? Cicely, I suppose you know what you're doing, but just whose career are you thinking of, his or yours?
It isn't altogether a question of careers, Tommy. It was simply that I didn't think I'd be of much help to him in England.
Oh, I can't quite believe that.
Well, if I were more or less sick for months and he had to worry about doctors and where to get milk for the baby.
What? Oh. Naturally, Chris doesn't know.
Certainly not. And you must promise not to let him know.
Well, do you really think his career, or any career for that matter, is that important?
I don't know, Tommy. The time it seemed right, maybe. Maybe I've done something I'll regret for the rest of my life. All I know is that if I'd told him about the baby, he wouldn't have gone.
Cicely, sometimes I think you're one of the wisest women I've ever known. And at other times, I think you're just a little girl with a lot of romantic nonsense in her head. And at the moment, I don't know which. The months that followed were very difficult for Cicely. Yet she never complained. The letters to Chris were filled with her own kind of good cheer, but I worried about her. Especially as the time grew near when she was to have her baby. And then suddenly it happened. The baby was born. Cicely was gravely ill. I cabled Chris immediately, and he returned as quickly as humanly possible. But it cost him his job as a foreign correspondent.
Oh, Chris.
Oh, darling. Oh, you crazy kid.
Chris.
Was it really so awful for you, darling?
No, I was looking forward to this moment.
Oh. Oh.
You'd better get over there and get yourself introduced.
Oh. Wow. Well, hello there, handsome. Wow.
Well, what?
Well, it's a very fine-looking baby, isn't it? Can you touch it?
Its name is Kit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Tommy told me. Well, can I touch him?
You might try.
Gee whiz, he's all warm, isn't he? Sort of like milk toast. Uh-oh. What's that? Did I do that?
Oh, no, he's just beginning to get hungry.
Oh. What do you feed him?
Oh, Chris. Really, darling? Oh. You a college man.
Oh, darling,
You won't ever leave me again.
Never. Never, no matter what.
Not even to go to the office.
No, that can wait.
Any nibbles, mister?
Well, Tommy. How are you? Well, it's been 6 months since I've seen you. Why, how'd you find out I was down here at the aquarium?
Oh, it's your house. The manager told me where you were and that Cicely had gone to the doctor with the baby.
Yeah, he's hatching a new tooth.
Oh?
Yeah.
What are you doing down here, anyway?
I'm waiting for a kiss.
For what?
They kiss the fish. At least they're supposed to.
Well, you look... They do what?
They kiss. I don't know. The fish kiss. Don't ask me why. That's what they sent me down here to find out.
You get paid for this?
Well, yeah, such as it is. A city news bureau.
Oh. Hey, look. See? Those fish are getting together now. You suppose they're going to kiss?
No, they've been doing that all day. That's just a stall.
Hey, tell me, how do you happen to be working for the City News?
Well, my walking out on that London job didn't exactly help when it comes to getting another one, you know.
The fish. Look at them.
Huh?
They haven't done that before. Gee, I wish they'd make up their minds.
Maybe they're bashful.
Yeah.
Say, Chris, I went down to El Rancho Vegas in Las Vegas for the weekend. It's a great place, and I had a lot of dumb luck gambling, and... Well, I've got more money than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah, Tommy. Thanks. You know, this
City News Bureau is just temporary. I've got some other things coming up. Publicity jobs.
What sort of publicity
jobs?
Well,
I have a chance to go out ahead of the circus. It's pretty good pay. Of course, I'll have to leave Sicily.
Now, look, how about coming out and having lunch? Huh?
Thanks, Tommy. I can't. I'm sorry. I have to wait here for a call. You know how it is. Well, I'll tell you what, though. Sicily ought to be home by now. As a matter of fact, she should be in the park with Kit by now. Why don't you go and take her to lunch?
Yeah, that's just what I'll do. That's a swell idea. Hello, Sicily.
Tommy. Well, how was Hollywood?
No, it was very kind to me. Sicily, would you mind if I got right to the point? I happen to know that you two aren't having what might be called an easy time.
No, Tommy, we're not.
All right, now I have a proposition to make. Look, honey, there are two things you need. Someone to take care of Kit and clothes so you can interview managers. I'd like to lend you money for both, say $500, huh?
$500?
It's about 3 weeks' salary after you get started.
Oh, Tommy, I'm very grateful to you, but you see, there's Chris.
I know. It would hurt Chris's pride.
Then how could I accept it?
Because in things like this, women are more sensible than men. Cecily, I want to help you two kids. I don't see any signs of a baby carriage around here unless you parked it somewhere. You carried Kit here, didn't you?
Yes.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry to be so brutal, but you've got to make some sense.
Listen, Tommy, I honestly don't mind things for myself. It's Chris. He works so hard all day long and all night, too, almost. He comes home tired out, yet somehow he always manages to run up the steps just to show he's not. My heart breaks for him.
Once again, for as many times as you like, how about it?
It's a very attractive proposition, Tommy, but...
I'm going to see Jennings, your old producer, tomorrow, and make an appointment for you. You take care of the new clothes in the beauty bar, huh?
Oh, Tommy, your efficiency is very comforting.
Oh, well, it's mostly an act. Not to be confused with the really important things Chris can do.
You really mean that, don't you?
What do you think?
I think, Tommy, that if a person in a lifetime achieves one really good friend, he or she is possessed of great riches. Tommy, you've made Chris and me richer than Rockefeller.
Now let's drop in on Bing and Bob, discussing a topic all smokers like to know about.
Bob, do you realize we only have one thing in common?
Hardly enough for a happy marriage, is it? What's that, Bing?
Chesterfields, of course. We both like them, we both sell them.
And we'd better get to selling them now. You know, folks, better tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
How do you know they're mild? Well, you just make our mildness test. You buy them, open them up, and enjoy that milder aroma. Then smoke a Chesterfield. You'll know it's milder because it smokes milder.
And Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel. So, always buy Chesterfield.
Let's sum it up musically.
Buy Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfield's a milder, milder, plus no aftertaste.
Oh ho, open a pack and give them a sniff.
Then you'll smoke them.
You are listening to the Screen Director's Playhouse, the Thursday night feature on NBC's All-Star Festival, brought to you by the makers of Anacin for the fast relief of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you what every smoker wants, mildness, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. The Screen Director's Playhouse presentation of Next Time We Love, starring the Academy Award nominees Jimmy Stewart and Eleanor Parker, will continue in just a moment after a brief pause for station identification. This is the Screen Director's Playhouse. We continue with the third act of Next Time We Love, starring two Academy Award nominees, Jimmy Stewart as Chris and Eleanor Parker as Cicely, with Gerald Moore as Tommy.
Sometimes the best intentions go amiss. You try to help friends, and instead you find yourself hurting them. Now that I can look back into the past and get a clear picture, I'd say the turning point in the life of Cicely and Chris came one afternoon in Central Park, while Chris was waiting for Cicely to arrive. For lack of a baby carriage, he was holding little Kit in his arms. He was accosted by a curious youngster.
Hi, mister.
Oh, how are you?
Crybaby, isn't he?
No, I wouldn't say that, no.
Is it your baby?
Yes, it's my baby.
Where's his mother?
She's out doing some errands.
What is she doing?
I say she's out doing some errands.
Huh. Hasn't your baby got a nurse?
No.
Oh, it must not be much of a baby.
All right, now come on, get out of here. Go and get your father. I can't hit you, but I'll beat his brains
in. Cry, baby.
Come on, get out of here.
The carriage awaits, my lord.
Cecily, what's this? What?
Oh, Kit, look.
Baby carriage.
What? Yeah, see? They had one with four-wheel brakes, but I think you'd like this one. Put him in, Chris.
Well, sure. Well, where did you... Well, you got a new hat on, a suit. Where'd you...
Where did I get the money?
Yeah.
Well, I've just got an advance on my salary.
Huh?
You see, last week Tommy took me to see Michael Jennings, and today he gave me a six-month contract.
A six-month contract?
Yeah, here it is.
Well, it says $150 a week, then.
Yes. It is fantastic, isn't it? Oh, Chris, darling, don't you see what it means? We can get a full-time nurse for Kit and pay all the back rent we owe.
Yeah, it came just in time, didn't it? When do you start?
Next week.
Well, next week, huh? Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful for you.
It's wonderful for both of us.
No, you're doing what you want to do. That's all it counts. Donnie, you remember that circus job I told you about? I'm going to take that.
Chris, you can't do that. Publicity man for a circus? Oh, no, not after all the things you've done.
I'll pay the rent for the nurse and Kit.
Well, you don't have to do that now. You can wait.
I've waited long enough. I'm tired of feeling ashamed of myself. I've been a flop as a husband and a father. I'm just stuck on myself because I once was a foreign correspondent.
Oh, darling, please don't take that circus job now.
I've got to. I just can't talk about it anymore. I've just got to do something. I'll see you tonight.
Sit down, Mrs. Tyler.
Thank you, Mr. Cartwright. I came to talk to you about my husband. I don't think you quite understand what happened while he was a foreign correspondent for your paper in England.
Do you know that the night your husband left our office in England, there was an attempted assassination of a very high person in politics? I suppose it had been successful.
Oh, that would have been very dreadful, wouldn't it? Or I might have died when my baby was born and Chris still in England. But neither of those things happened. And in the meantime, a good newspaper man is eating his heart out, and you're going without someone you need.
When I send a man halfway across the world to keep his eyes open for me, I want a man I can trust.
Oh, Mr. Carteret, didn't you ever make a mistake? Didn't you once do something that wasn't quite in the line of duty? And didn't anyone ever give you a second chance?
Mrs. Tyler, they don't run newspapers on second chances. Oh, I realize this must have made things difficult financially for you and your husband. Now, it's unfortunate.
Financially? Oh, I don't think you quite understand why I'm here.
Well, why did you come?
Because I want Chris to be doing the things he was meant for. That's a promise I made to myself.
All the newspaper men's wives I've ever known wanted their husbands to get out of the business.
It's his life, Mr. Cartwright.
You really want your husband to be a newspaper man?
So long as that's what he wants.
What's his number?
Oh, Chelsea 7883.
Get me Chelsea 7883. How about China?
China?
Yes, China, the Far East. If he sticks at it this time, he'll get everything he ever hoped for. Oh, there'll be months when he's off in the interior. You won't even hear from him. Probably won't even see him for years. Do you want me to forget it?
No. And he'll stick at it. I won't do anything to bring him back this time.
Years began to roll on. The name Chris Tyler, foreign correspondent, was a household word. Everyone looked for his reports on China, Russia, and every other godforsaken land. As for Sicily, her life could be summed up with her latest review. Critics acclaimed Cicely Tyler the outstanding dramatic success of the year. The most glamorous star in a decade.
Sorry, Tommy. I couldn't get home sooner. Important interview, you know.
Oh, sure. Here's a letter from Chris. Hey, does he finally know you're moving?
No.
Why are you, anyway? What's the matter with the house in Connecticut?
Well, it's all right for weekends and for Kit, but when I'm in town, well, it isn't very convenient. There's no place to entertain.
Took you long enough to discover that.
Yes, I know. I think I kept hoping I'd hear Chris come running up the stairs again. Now I want a place of my own things.
Any particular news from Chris?
Yes, he's coming home in a few weeks.
To stay?
No, he'll only have a few days till he has to go back.
I wonder if he's changed as much as you have.
I wonder, too. Tommy, what's happened to me? I should be happy, and instead I'm frightened.
Why, Cicely?
Chris must have learned to live alone, too.
Living alone or together? It's not important for you or Chris?
I don't feel married to him anymore.
That doesn't make any difference to you either.
Why, do you know, there have been whole days lately when I haven't thought of him once. That's a strange kind of love. I don't understand it. We had so much together once.
Mrs. Tyler, Mr. Tyler has arrived.
Have him come in.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, Cicely.
You're looking very well.
Well, you are, too. Better than I've ever seen you. How's Kit?
Fine. He's much bigger than you'd imagine. He's in the country now.
Oh, yes. Tommy told me you'd taken a place in Connecticut, too.
Just for the summer, for Kit. It's very pleasant there. Oh, won't you sit down?
Thanks. Tommy met me at the boat.
Yes, he told me he was going to meet you.
Yes, he told me he told you that he would.
Oh. I have some cocktails ready. Do you think it's too early for them?
No, I don't think so. I think it would be a great help to both of us. Here, can I help you?
Yes, you can get some ice in the kitchen. I'll go along.
Hey, this is the first refrigerator I've ever seen outside of a magazine.
Get the ice out of those trays.
Sure. How do you do it?
Well, pour some hot water over them now.
Oh, look,
what you've done, Chris.
Here's a towel. I'll dry you. You know, I used to do all right with an ice pick.
Hand me the shaker.
Cicely, I'm sorry I upset you so.
Chris, how would you like to drive down and see Kit?
Oh, yes, I'd like that very much.
It isn't far, and I think you'll love the place. Kit can show you his pony.
What? Like, Kit on a pony?
Oh, sure, he goes riding every morning. You could stay and... Of course, if you have any other plans, it might interfere.
Well, I had planned to see Carteret in the morning. Perhaps there's a train I could get back tonight.
Yes, there's one that gets you in at 11.
That's fine. That's... Cicely, I've been away a long time, but there's one thing that may make our meeting a little less difficult. I want you to know that I realize that you've been living your own life, and I want you to realize that I'm trying to say that I don't want you to feel that I expect anything of you.
That's very fair of you. I don't want you to feel that I expect anything of you either.
Hey, why does this brandy taste better in Connecticut, Cicely?
I'm sure I don't know.
Now, you've spent hours telling... I've spent so much time telling me about myself. Now, what about you?
Me? Oh, I've had a very good winter, very busy. My show just closed last week.
No, I mean you.
I've had Kit.
Is that enough?
Something to live for? If it hadn't been for Kit, I don't know that I'd have been altogether faithful to your memory.
Do you know, I've made up my mind I wasn't going to ask you that. I never was so glad to hear anything in my life.
Is that what you were thinking of all afternoon when we were being so very reasonable?
Well, something like that, I guess. Well, I guess I'd better hurry if I'm going to catch that train. Cicely, I wonder, do you know, I'd like to see Kit once more.
Oh, yes, come on.
Oh, this is nice.
That's my room. Kit's in here.
Do you think it'll wake him up if I kiss him goodbye?
No, go ahead.
But he's stirring.
It doesn't matter.
There's a smile on his face. I guess he thought it was you.
Oh, no, he knows you by now.
Good night, Kit. Good night, son. Come on, Cicely.
I'm sorry I'm not able to send you back in the car, but it's William's night off.
Oh, that's all right. I'm used to trains.
Yes, I know. I'll be in town tomorrow. It'll be fun showing you all the new places.
I'm looking forward to that.
You'll phone me tomorrow, then?
Yes, yes. All right. Well, I better hurry or I'll miss that train.
Chris.
Darling.
What would happen if you didn't take that train?
Oh, my darling.
Cicely, how long have we known each other?
Well, I'd say it's about 9 years.
It's a long time, isn't it?
I should say not. I expect to know you for at least 50 more.
I hope. I had a letter from Chris this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, he's left Korea. He's gone to Switzerland. You going to join him?
I don't know. It depends on whether I open my play in the fall or this summer.
Yeah. You know, it's funny his resigning from his job unless he feels he's done everything he started out to do.
He's come a long way, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. What's this book he's going to write?
Did he tell you about it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He always said he'd never write a book. Look, tell me about the beautiful blonde that Winchell reports you running around with. What's her name?
Oh, Elaine. Her name's Elaine. Elaine Martin.
Are you in love with her?
Well, you couldn't exactly call it a love match. We just like each other. It might work out.
What are you waiting for?
You.
The promise of always.
Tommy.
Even after 9 years, it may sound a little sudden. Would you divorce Chris and marry me?
Because we just like each other, like you and Elaine?
No. No, it isn't quite the same, at least for me. You see, I happen to be in love with you.
I didn't know, Tommy.
Well, I didn't intend you should. But I've loved you ever since I can remember.
I've always taken everything for granted. I never thought of you at all. Except, well, as someone I could turn to. It wasn't very nice of me, was it? No.
You've always loved Chris. Do you still? Yeah, I know you do. Even though he'd rather write a book than come back to you. How many times have you two been together in the last 5 years since you came back from China?
Once in Paris, 2 weeks in Lucerne, 4 times altogether, but never for very long. Since China, there's always either my work or his.
What's in the way this time, except the book?
Evidently, he doesn't want to see me.
Well, then, will you, Cicely?
Marry you?
Yes.
Tommy, you make me very proud. Perhaps we could be happy together, only.
Even that much from you makes me feel happier than I know what to do about. Well, I suppose I...
Tommy.
Huh?
Come and sit down. Tommy, Chris has asked me if I want a divorce. He's done and said everything he could to tell me he doesn't love me anymore. Still, I feel I must wait. I don't know what for, but I must wait, no matter how lonely I am.
I understand.
Tommy, that song they're playing on the radio. The day I was married, and I thought I was to go back to college. They played it while I was in Chris's apartment.
Well, hello, Mr. Carteret. Welcome to Geneva.
Hello, Chris.
When I got your cable to meet you, I felt as though I was right back in the city room receiving one of your assignments.
Ah, you forget the rest. I said as a personal favor. I don't think I ever put that in any of my assignments. Yes, Chris, they gave me a dinner and presented me with a gold watch.
Yeah, it's very hard to imagine you on a vacation.
Oh, I'm not. After 30 years, I'm back by my own request, back to being a foreign correspondent. Now I can find out things for myself.
Wonderful. I think that's marvelous. Where do you begin?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll go to Berlin. Like to go with me?
Berlin? Oh, I'd like to, but I'm afraid I can't. Would you like to order?
Oh, later. I was almost sure when I got your letter, Chris. Now that I see you, I'm sure. Of what are you going to die?
Why, whatever made you think I'm going to die?
Your letter of resignation sounded more like a last will and testament.
All right, then. The germs you find in China are as unclassified as the people. They don't even know the names of the one I've collected. All they know is what they're doing to me.
By they, I suppose you mean the doctors.
Yes, yes, I've been to enough of them.
Is that why they sent you to Switzerland?
Yes, they thought it would prolong things a little.
Well, there's nothing much to say except you've done good work.
Oh, 700 front-page stories buried in the files.
Yellowing files, Chris. Don't forget the adjective.
Yes, well, thanks anyway for not being sympathetic.
How about the famous Cicely Tyler?
I haven't told her. She imagines I'm here writing a book, which I'm not.
Well, don't you think you'd better tell her? One last wifely gesture won't do her any harm.
A wifely gesture is something I've never wanted of Cicely. I had a cable from her this morning. She wants me to meet her at Lucerne in a month.
Lucerne?
Yes, we spent several weeks there together 2 years ago.
Well, suppose she guesses when she sees you.
No, I'm a pretty good actor, you know.
Aren't you being a little on the heroic side?
No. No. No, it's not heroism. It's just that we've known the best of each other, and I wanted to end with that still true, that's all.
I wonder if you have any idea how rarely one finds a couple like you in Sicily. Not just one of you having the courage to live alone, but both of you.
Well, most of the time, there wasn't any choice.
Oh, one of you could have got frightened and hung on the other's neck and drowned both of you in a sea of matrimonial bliss. That's what usually happens. It's amazing, the things people ask of love. They expect it to protect them, keep them from being bored, make them work harder. In fact, they want everything except love. I remember the first time I met her. There was a look in her eyes when she spoke of you. I'm sorry, Chris. What you and Cicely have doesn't die out. Now, let's order a bottle of wine and discuss the only proper topic for you and me, the newspaper business.
All right. On one condition. You let me buy the bottle of wine. You know, it was always my ambition when I was a cub reporter to know the managing editor well enough to take him out and buy him a drink, you know. Come in. Hello, Cicely. You didn't let me know what time you'd get here. I'd been down the lobby waiting.
I motored up, you know.
Yes, you're looking marvelous.
Thank you.
How's Kit?
Fine. He's staying at Tommy's ranch in California.
Oh, well, that ought to be fun for him.
Chris, you are looking terribly tired.
Well, I've been working pretty hard.
On your book?
Yes.
How's it coming?
Oh, it's beginning to shape up.
Yes? Tell me about it.
Well, it's that novel I was for, Never Write. Well, won't you sit down, Cecily? I'll get some tea or something to drink.
No, thank you. In your last letter, Chris, you asked me if I wanted a divorce.
Well, naturally, it can't go on like this, being half married and half not married.
No, I suppose not. Tell me, Chris, it isn't just because of your book that you're staying away, is
no.
it? No. I didn't think so, but I had to be sure. What is it, Chris?
Well, it's rather hard to explain, but it's just that one day I realized that I'd stopped thinking about you for quite some time. Things like that happen, you know.
Well, that seems a fairly complete explanation. Why didn't you write me that in the letter?
Well, I thought you would guess.
It's peaceful here.
Yes, it's... I like it much better out of season. How's Tommy?
Fine.
Is he still in love with you?
Yes. Just before I left, he asked me if I wouldn't divorce you and marry him.
Do you want to?
I'm thinking about it.
It might be a very good thing for you. After the rotten time you've had with me.
Chris, did you ever hear me say I had a rotten time with you?
We've been happy together when we've been together, of course, but that's not enough for a lifetime.
Often enough for me. Cigarette?
No, thanks. I've given them up.
Well, there doesn't seem much left to say. Much reason for my staying. I could almost get back to Innsbruck in time for dinner.
But must you go now?
Why?
I thought perhaps you'd stay here for dinner, or perhaps you'd rather not.
Bye, Christopher. Maybe the next time we live, we'll have time for each other. Oh, I'm being rather stupid, aren't I? I'm making such a tragedy of things. I don't really have to go for another 3 days. Couldn't we just forget everything that's happened and have a gay and amusing time like old friends?
But
there's so many places we never saw here, Chris. I've got a car and... Oh, let's have a real holiday.
But first of all,
we'll have dinner. I know. We'll go to that little place up in the valley where we went the last time, you remember?
Yes, I remember.
All right. Call for me about 7, huh? Oh, Otto.
Yes, madame.
Have you seen Mr. Tyler?
He checked out of the hotel an hour ago.
What? Well, do you have any idea where he might have gone? Well,
the porter took his bags to the railroad station. By the way, he left this note for you.
Oh, thank you, Otto. Please have my car brought here immediately.
Yeah, well, madame.
Chris. Oh, Chris. What are you doing in this compartment?
Well, what does one do in a railroad compartment?
Oh, Chris, what is it, Chris?
Didn't you get my note?
Yes, you said you suddenly found you had to go.
Well, I tried to explain this
afternoon.
Yes,
you know you don't love me anymore. I can understand that, but not your running away from me. Why, you never ran away from anything in your life.
I just realized that it wouldn't work, that's all. 3 days of pretending wouldn't only make us both unhappy.
You can't even be my friend.
We've gotten beyond that.
Oh, what is it, Chris?
Nothing.
But you're hiding something from me.
No, there's nothing, I tell you.
Chris, this isn't you talking. It isn't. You can't make me believe it. Not even when you tell me you don't love me, I'll never believe that.
Please. Please, I can't explain anymore. I just want to get away. I'll have to say goodbye.
Oh, not this way, no.
Oh, Cecily, I can't. I can't.
Chris.
I can't.
Oh, Chris, Chris, what's the matter with you?
Cecily, get that capsule in my coat pocket. Break it.
Yes, yes. Here, breathe it in. Breathe it in.
Thanks. Thanks. I'll be all right.
Oh, darling, why didn't I guess?
I'll be all right.
Are you very sick, Chris?
Yes.
Where are we going?
There's a sanitarium. I've been staying at up near Basel.
My darling, tell me.
Oh, I love you. Oh, my darling, darling, Cecily, I've always loved you.
The item in the drama page read, Cicely Tyler, at the height of her career, has retired from the theater. And now, well, you know the reason. But no matter what the end, somehow in this sometimes dreary and complicated world, their love sheds a luminous light, a beacon to all those who love and live to keep their love alive.
Our stars, Jimmy Stewart and Eleanor Parker, will return in just a moment with this week's guest screen director. Next week, the Screen Director's Playhouse brings you two more great stars in one of the timely dramas of our day, Joan Crawford and Frank Lovejoy. And the adaptation, for the first time on the air, will be The Damned Don't Cry. Now, here are our two Academy nominees, Jimmy Stewart and Eleanor Parker.
Would you mind if I sort of carry the ball here, so to speak, and say a few words about a very good friend of mine?
Go right ahead, Jimmy. And I don't have to be a mind reader to know that you're referring to Mr. E.H. Griffith, the distinguished director of Next Time We Love.
That's absolutely right, Alder. In my book, Ned Griffith rates with the best in motion picture direction. And, well, all I know, I'll take him on my team anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to present Mr. E.H. Griffith.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Eleanor. Tonight, I think all the praise should go to you. You certainly deserve it, and I mean that sincerely. As I watched your performance here tonight on the Screen Director's Playhouse, I can readily understand why two such fine players were selected as Academy Award nominees. Eleanor, your work in Cage was so memorable, I shall never forget it. And Jimmy, you're... well, there just couldn't be a Harvey without you. In a few hours now, the Oscars will be handed out, and it's my fervent hope that you are both the winners. Good luck and good night.
Thank you and good night, Ned.
Good night, everyone.
Next Time We Love was presented through the courtesy of Universal International Studios, now releasing Bill Mauldin's Up Front, starring David Wayne and Tom Ewell. Jimmy Stewart is now appearing in the Universal International production Harvey. Eleanor Parker is currently working in William Wyler's production for Paramount, Detective Story. E.H. Griffith is currently working with Gene Fowler on his production of Rip Van Winkle. Included in tonight's cast were Stan Farrar, Leon Ledoux, Joel Nessler, and Bruce Kamen. Gerald Moore played Tommy. Next Time We Love was adapted for radio by Jack Rubin. Screen Director's Playhouse is produced by Howard Wiley and directed by Bill Karn. Portions of tonight's broadcast were transcribed. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking and inviting you to listen next week when we present for the first time on the air The Damned Don't Cry, starring Joan Crawford and Frank Lovejoy with Screen Director Vincent Sherman. Listen again next week to Screen Director's Playhouse, the Thursday night feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Listen tomorrow evening to the one and only Duffy's Tavern, the Friday night feature of the All-Star Festival.
Saturday's fun with Judy Canova and Dennis Day on NBC.